This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Yeah, this is Love Sport Radio with the London Football Fan Show. Friday night means one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Chelsea Fancast.
Yay! Hurrah! Hurrah!
Joining me... Joining me this evening, we have got... what's suddenly becoming like the first choice? The A-team?
This is the A-team.
On the left flank, we've got Jonathan Kidd.
Left footed. Not actually, but
the wing wizard.
Left foot. Actually, I'm more of a midfield destroyer. Yeah. Thanks very much. Kido.
The creative one down the middle. It's Clayton Beerman. How's it going?
Evening. Very good. Very good.
Confectionery king.
Very creative.
Yeah.
And very in the middle.
And of course, the gaffer, the skipper,
the enforcer,
the man who makes it all happen,
the man who likes a 2-footed tackle.
Yeah, Stamford Chidge.
Isn't he got a 2-footed tackle?
I don't know, mate.
Oh, okay.
I'm away with the Lulars tonight.
It was deliberately done.
So there we go.
How are you, gentlemen?
We're all knackered, but on great form. We're happy to see you, Aaron.
Has it been a good week in Chelsea world?
No, not really. Yeah, busy week for you. Yeah.
It's
I feel that it may be up to you to run this show tonight.
Yeah, I can run it, no problem. Okay.
Well, you've already decided you're the only Chelsea fan. Let's be honest.
I know, because I'm the only one going to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, but are you paying to go?
No, I'm being paid to go.
The only reason I'm going is they pay me. I wouldn't go if I had to pay.
Nah, mate.
See Arsenal, Chelsea. Daylight robbery, mate.
I like that character you've assumed. That character you did. You just assumed a character to play.
Character was it?
I don't know.
That was a football person.
It was a football person. Somebody regularly
grumpy
goes to football.
Grumpy old man football person.
No, not at all.
It was like, I'm working class and I'm going to football.
Working class / I've got a vlog and I'm going to football.
I have to say, mate, I'm kind of gutted I'm not going. It's quite fun going up to the Emirates to watch Chelsea
padded
win,
seats and all.
Arsenal. But I have to work here tomorrow and I have dropped one, proverbially, because I thought it'd be on the telly.
And it is.
It is not on the telly here. So I feel like an idiot. But there we go. What can you do?
What can you do? Plenty on the way this evening, looking back at Chelsea versus Newcastle.
Yes, we're going to look back at that little weeny bit.
Yeah, we're talking Carabao.
Because it wasn't that exciting.
No. Well, never usually is with them. Talking Carabao Cup, with Chelsea taking on Spurs this week. Arsenal, Chelsea tomorrow. Plenty of London derbies. And guess what we got?
What? A quiz.
We've got a quiz.
We have. We have. Oh. Can you guess what it is yet?
Oh. I'm reckoning it's going to be players who have played for Chelsea and Arsenal.
God, how did you guess that, Aaron?
Wow.
That's amazing. Amazing. It's Mystic Meg, isn't it?
Amazing. Psychic.
Yeah. No, you'll get, do you know what? You're right. It is how many players that Chidge has found have played for Arsenal and Chelsea. And I think I found 22.
But that may not necessarily 22. Be true, no, just because no. you found them.
That's what I'm saying. I'm qualifying it so that I don't get sued. There could be more, particularly the older ones that are really hard to ferret out. But I've found 22.
Can I just say,
yes.
the most obvious... I'm not going to give anything away because it's the most obvious one.
Have I missed one already?
No. The one on your list.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The person who wears a hat has got a little hat on top of his name.
So well, the website well that I done. Nick copied and pasted it from actually had that, whatever they call it.
Very, very impressive. Yeah.
We're going to be talking about him as well, actually, in the show.
I'm very glad.
A little bit of a tribute to him because you're here. He likes goalkeepers.
I love goalkeepers.
Well, he is at goalie.
He is
59.
At goalie 59. Give him a follow. Yeah, we're talking all things London derbies this weekend. Of course, Chelsea taking on Arsenal. They're heading to the Emirates. We're looking ahead to that. We're talking Chelsea Spurs. First of all, let me get just a couple of outline reactions to the Chelsea Newcastle game.
Hold on.
Well, that's a bit unfair, really.
Why? Because Newcastle played some attacking football.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought they were going to park the bus, and they didn't. I thought they were going to...
No, you're wrong.
...react on...
Your butler was surprised.
Sorry, I'm so sorry, because I don't watch. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the news that I was given by my manservant was that they hadn't parked the bus, which surprised me, I have to say.
And what was even more interesting is that when we spoke to the lovely Mick Martin...
He was great.
He really was lovely.
Yeah.
He basically said, if Chelsea score early, then...
That'll be the end of that.
It's the end of that.
Well, Chelsea scored early and then went to sleep for 20 minutes.
But the trouble is, I believed the lovely Mick Martin, so I expected then a hatful of goals that never came, which left me rather grumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but as our manager said, that they seem to lose
they did
lose concentration.
Yeah, bizarre.
Why?
Complacent.
Why are we
I know. Well, they don't press. You just what? It's really simple. An interesting thing happened the other day. We were talking about Hazard all the time, receiving the ball, facing the ball, as we said on Monday. If you watch Man City play, the big difference between, which is a very similar system that Sarri plays to Guardiola, is he has four people in the box. Yep. All the time, all of who are facing the play. So because that's where they have to do. He's got four, so the press is enormous, and we don't seem to pursue that at all.
Well, we said this after the City game, didn't we? I mean, obviously we had a good day, although we were a little bit lucky, it has to be said.
Yeah. Well, we took our chances.
Yeah, but the one thing I noticed was how much the City front line press compared to ours.
Ours
kind of meander along about five minutes later, but all the City front line, all their forwards
they're
and wingers.
There.
Are right on people.
Absolutely.
The minute they got the
ball. But it makes sense. It means it's more difficult for them to deal with it. Because so it's easy to have the block if you've got nobody in the penalty area.
But here's the question, mate. Because, I mean, this is happening repeatedly, isn't it? And it would be very easy to say, well, that's the manager's job to get them to, you know, get on board with this.
Yeah.
But I you look at it and you wonder how fully on board they are with it if they don't do it.
It's taking them such a... What I find so bizarre is that they were more on board earlier in the season and seemed to press more early in the season and seemed to be more in the penalty area early in the season. But we had a situation, I remember, just after we'd scored, about 5 minutes after, where we got the ball and passed it around really rather beautifully, and I looked up and thought, this, the only person in the penalty area on the edge is Kante. Nobody else is anywhere near the penalty area at all. So there was nobody to pass the ball to. So therefore, it cannot but go sideways because
I agree, because everybody's saying, oh, we're not passing the ball forward. The reason we're not passing the ball forward
there's
is
nobody there.
There's nobody there.
Yeah. Yeah,
but the only people that are there are the other side
defenders. So it makes sense to me that if you've got four of your players in the penalty area, it doesn't matter whether they're facing the ball or not, because they're looking for the ball. They have to face the ball. So that business of saying, well, Hazard needs to come onto the ball. Well, no. If there are four there, it means that the defence are occupied and they're going to be those four are going to be looking for the ball. So you wonder whether Morata would have actually been better, presuming Morata is off. Once again, nothing that I've read on the internet has made me believe that he's going to be on his way, despite Atleti having made a deal supposedly got a deal going for him, because nothing appears to have happened.
Well, we are going to be speaking to Dom Fifield, who's hopefully going to shed some light on all the situations, Morata, Higuain, and he's going to be giving us the most important answer of them all.
Don't ask him what his vibe is. Please.
We've got to ask him what his vibe is.
No, don't. Dom's a serious journalist. Don't mess with the Dom, mate.
He eats lunch at Crystal Palace, folk. That's all I know.
He's a Crystal Palace fan.
It's Love Sport Radio.
Love Sport, 558 AM.
One thing I'm really disappointed about, chaps, is that we haven't all collectively wished Marina Granovskaya a happy birthday. She turned 44 on the 13th of January.
How do you know I hadn't rang her up today and wished her a happy birthday?
Well, because her birthday was 5 days ago, Clayton.
Yeah, but it could have been a bit late. As she may only have just got the card if the post had been rubbish.
How do you know I didn't take her out for a nice lunch?
Yeah, and more.
Well, happy birthday to her anyway.
She'll be listening.
Yeah, I'm sure
she will. As always. She told me that at lunch.
Let's get the update on what's going on from Dominic Fifield now. Dom, first and foremost, good evening. Secondly, you know, I've been told I'm not allowed to ask you what Sarri's vibe is today. So how was Maurizio when you went and popped in to see him?
He seemed okay. He was in fairly jovial mood, I guess. He likes to laugh with Andy Dillon from The Sun. He tends to sit in the front row, and that's, you sort of judge whether he's in a good mood or not from whether he reacts to Dillon's appalling jokes. And he warmed up in this one, I'd say. He was pretty. He wasn't really up for it during the broadcast section, which is what was broadcast on the website earlier. But he was slightly more open and relaxed in the newspaper section subsequently. So not too bad. Typical Sarri, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Dom, it's Chidge here. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I watched the press conference. So is it markedly different in the newspaper bit? Does his demeanour change an awful lot then?
Not as much as other managers at Chelsea, but it does. I just think that as soon as you tell someone the cameras have been turned off, they automatically relax a bit. You know, I'm not just talking managers, anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we always got the better quotes, the better sound bites from, say, Jose, once the cameras went off, unless he was in particularly, you know, warmongering mood. Yeah, exactly. but generally speaking, they just relax because they know that, you know, if they stumble across a word, for example, they can go back and correct themselves.
Yeah.
It's not the same as in front of a live audience, if you see what I mean? Although we are. I insist we are actually alive. That is actually us still there. But anyway, it's decent enough. He's good. He's not quite as newsworthy as even Antonio Conte, really. But I think, you know, his first year in England, let's give him time to warm up and work out how it all happened.
Fair enough. Jonathan?
He'll have a different personality when he learns the language properly, of course.
Yeah.
I think we learnt about Conte that the more he became savvy of what he was supposed to say, the slightly more angry he became. That was my feeling about it.
But Sarri's got a very dry sense of humour, I think. It's quite a warm sense of humour that comes across to me. Anyway, talking about what he said, Dom, obviously, you know, the main focus, of course, was on the transfer window. And he was asked about Higuain and Morata and Hudson-Odoi. Did we learn anything from what was discussed?
From his responses, no, because the first question about Higuain, the first question of the press conference, he immediately snapped back, you know, I'm nothing to do with transfers, and came up with his stock answer that, you know, I'm the head coach, I'm here to improve the players on the training pitch, which I can believe that's fair enough. The one thing I did think was interesting today was he name-checked Marina four times, and as far as I can remember, he hasn't done that before. He's never actually said he refers to the club's hierarchy as the club, but today it was Marina three times, I think, over Higuain, and once over who was the other one, the midfielder, the replacement for Cesc Fabregas,
Paredes.
Well, no, there were no names again. That in itself was, I think, quite telling, because he chose that question about the addition of a new midfielder as a chance to remind the world that he wants a replacement for Fabregas in. I'm not. It may happen, but I'm not entirely convinced that that Chelsea necessarily want a midfielder in January as a direct replacement for Fabregas. I think they would, A, like to do their business in the summer when you get slightly more value for money, and B, I think everything at that club at the moment is slightly wary of the Cullen Hudson-Odoi situation, and if they brought another midfielder in, regardless of what type, I do think it potentially would have implications for Mason Mount, for example, and I think they're very conscious of not wanting to block off pathways for the youth team graduates to get into the first team scenario situation. I know we've been waiting for years for, you know, lots of Chelsea youth team successful FA Cup youth winners to get into that first team and challenge regularly, and the success from the first team managers hasn't helped them establish themselves. But I think it's quite interesting if Callum Hudson-Odoi is going to leave this month. I think that sends a message out to the academy and also to Chelsea's hierarchy that things possibly maybe do need to change. So bringing a midfielder in now might not be the most politically correct thing to do in terms of the youth. But then again, it might annoy Maurizio Sarri as well. So it's a delicate situation.
Tom, it's Clayton here. First off, thanks very much for bigging up the fanzine on Twitter the other week. That was very kind of you. Your cheque is, of course, in the post.
It'll only be for a pound, though.
Yeah, it's a pound cheque.
About 10 people.
You mentioned Callum Hudson-Odoi, and it was interesting, and I sort of groaned when I heard what he said, because it sums up what is wrong with a lot of modern football, is when he said, I'm very pleased with him because, you know, last month we told him about his defensive duties and now he's much better at that. And I don't know. I think they're coaching the sort of the vibrancy and the skill out of these players. I mean, I don't know if anything's mentioned about Barkley, whether Barkley's fit at the moment, but Barkley seems to have gone from being a really bright spark at the beginning of the season to the last sort of month or so. He seems gone right off the boil.
It's a really interesting point. I did a journeyman footballer from the lower leagues. I know Chelsea fans might not necessarily remember Drew Broughton, but of ex-Norwich City fame, but largely sort of Rotherham United and, you know, Boston United clubs lower down the scale. But he has become a sort of life coach for players. He's got about six or seven young players, some of whom are internationals under 21s as well. And what he's found doing his work, this is psychological stuff really, but he thinks and he's convinced that their sort of instincts are being coached out of them at the top level, that they have specific jobs that they're given by managers, head coaches, and all the stuff that got them into that position in the first place to get into a first team situation or even to excel in the youth side, it's just drummed out of them. They're not allowed to be instinctive anymore, and he cites that as a real problem. He's an interesting guy, Drew. He's got some pretty strong opinions on things, which I think some people in the game will be scared of and will think that he's gone a bit too far on. But the reality is, all that sort of street football instinct that you used to get with Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and you clearly get with Callum Hudson-Odoi, yes, it's got to be preserved. You can't drum it out of them, because that's what's made them great. That's what's made them stand out. So I share your concerns on it. He's an Italian head coach. He's going to want all his players to do some work defensively. But I mean, I don't get the impression that he's getting Eden Hazard to track back and make tackles in his own, you know, in the final third. I don't think that's what he's doing. And he's got a talent there in Hudson-Odoi. He could be something quite special, potentially.
Yeah.
And you don't want him wasted doing stuff that he doesn't find natural at the moment. I'd love him to go out and express himself, but I'm not sure he'll be able to at the moment.
Dom, stick with us. We'll be back with more from you after the break. Dominic Fifield joining us here on the Chelsea Fancast.
Your news, your views, your voice. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
We are back. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio this evening. Got Dominic Fifield with us on the phone. Dom was present as Maurizio Sarri spoke to the press earlier on today. Now, Dom, I've got a man sitting next to me who scribbled down his notes on a newspaper, like Harry Redknapp scribbling down a bet.
When you're talking to Dom Fifield, who I read consistently in the newspaper, I wanted to ask you, Dom, it's Jonathan Kidd. Applying what you said about overcoaching for the youth or getting them to play in roles that they're not used to, do you think that's possibly what's happened to Chelsea in the for the first team? Because I'm not seeing the same performances I saw earlier on in the season from players like Barkley as an example, who appears to be playing such a rigid structure that he's not being allowed to express himself. He's not shooting as much. He's not taking players on. He just seems to be completely rigid and as consequently isn't performing anywhere near the standard we expect.
Yeah, I mean, possibly, quite possibly. I think when Sarri came in, he talked about the philosophy, the dreaded Sarri ball, all the stuff that was going to take time to bed in for the players to become familiar with how he wanted them to play. And I think even he was pleasantly surprised at the start that the team made, playing so well for the first couple of months of the season and achieving excellent results en route and playing some good entertaining football, albeit some of the defending maybe left him slightly more to be desired. But as soon as, I don't know, he has hit that wall now. He's got to the stage now where things suddenly feel a bit stodgy. I wonder whether it's an element of fatigue possibly creeping in when you look at Jorginho's clearly struggling at the moment. If he's a man who's setting his tempo, then he's really hit a wall. The last few games, he's not moved the ball nearly quickly enough.
And again, gives it away an enormous amount as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's not the player. He's not the tidy player he was at the beginning. I've never really looked at him and thought this is a dynamic midfielder that's going to dominate a Premier League match. But he is the type who'll keep the ball and with some nice, set the tempo from that central role. And he's not doing that at the right tempo at the moment.
He also seemed to be directing the play much more earlier on. Physically, he was pointing at plays, areas where he wanted the ball to go, and that seems to have disappeared as well. So he's
Don't you think that the lack of a centre forward as well has contributed to that? Because I don't see Hazard contributing as much as from a number nine position as he was from the left, where he seemed freer and he seemed able to cause more problems. Really, the only time I've really seen Chelsea click into a proper rhythm in the last 6-8 weeks was probably in the first half at Brighton.
Having said that, though, they played very well against Spurs, though, in the League Cup game. They really raised their game, actually.
And in fairness, that is quite positive. The reaction from going a goal down to play well, okay, they didn't score, but they had a bit more about them in that match. But weirdly, when they've been leading in games, it's been a problem.
They lose concentration somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that happened at Brighton. I mean, that was actually the game they should have been 5 or 6
Absolutely.
Nil up.
But then I think with a proper forward, they would have been 5-0 up, wouldn't they, really?
So,
Dom, talking of good performances, I happened to catch a Sunday supplement last weekend, and I was very, very intrigued by what you had to say about the way that, the Chelsea's transfer strategy, really, which was, I think you coined the term mixed messages and full of confusion and people not really know who to talk to. Would you like to expand on that? Because I thought it was a very interesting point.
Well, it's a club that's suddenly decided to do away or to lose its sporting director and not replace him at a time where every single other club in the country seems to be adopting that model. Now, Marina Granovskaya has clearly taken a lot of the duties on herself, and she is clearly the power on the ground at Chelsea at the moment. But there is confusion amongst agents, amongst other clubs and other clubs' recruitment departments as to who they should go to at Chelsea to contact about players that they're interested in, players that Chelsea might be interested in. The agents are talking on that front. There just seems to be no focal point to it all. And I think that's also reflected in the fact that Chelsea seems to be pursuing some players that the head coach might not necessarily have wanted or might not have been his first choices. Some of them clearly are. Higuain is a case in point. Clearly that's a Sarri signing. He wants him. He's pushed him. And I do think that possibly there's an element of, okay, we'll give you Higuain. You'll have your man, the main man, but you know, everything else we do around the transfer window is going to be what we want to do for the long-term future of this club, not necessarily what you want to do in the short term. And that, to me, sets the alarm bells going a bit. It's sort of a recap of Antonio Conte in some ways. I don't think Sarri is going to be as pushy as Conte became. I don't think that's in his nature. He's worked under similar circumstances at Napoli and worked quite happily for three seasons there. So I don't think he's going to be quite abrasive, and that relationship isn't going to break down in quite the same way. But it doesn't feel like a club where everybody is working towards the same long-term vision. I think it might help Chelsea if they did eventually appoint a successor to Michael Emanalo. I know Emanalo got a lot of grief from the fans, and you know, some of the palpable discord being the obvious thing. There was good reason for him getting grief, but he also did a good, efficient job behind the scenes that wasn't maybe recognised. You know, every Saturday at the ground, I think Chelsea need that focal point in there. I think it's asking an awful lot of Marina to do everything that she was doing before and also run the recruitment department. Even if it's something that she enjoys doing, which I suspect she probably does, it might be in Chelsea's benefit to have another voice in there who is providing some kind of long-term philosophy and structure around which everybody else can revolve.
But Dom, can I just ask a question? I don't know if you know the answer to this. I'm not doubting for one moment that Marina hasn't got excellent football knowledge, but who's actually picking these players? If it's not the manager, who is doing it?
Well, there's a fine question.
Thank you very much.
If you look at, I'm maybe contradicting myself here, but if you look at, go back a couple of years, go back 2-3 years and see the type of players that Chelsea are bringing in, and more importantly, who represented those players that came in at any one time, there are patterns in agents. How it works. Agents who have 2 or 3 players at one time who seem to do a lot of business around Chelsea, and that agent maybe doesn't do quite so much business. We're seeing at the moment now David Luiz in the final year of his contract, doesn't look as if he's going to get a new contract at Chelsea and will probably leave in the summer. His agent Keir Jarabchin, who was a firm favourite at Chelsea not long ago, had a lot of players coming in and out, moving out of Chelsea. He made a lot of money for Chelsea with people like Oscar coming in and then leaving on for huge money to China. Now, the Keir Jarabchins of this world, there's always someone else who's the next one along. And I do think there's an element of that about it all, that it's a sort of flavour of the month, the agent with a certain client who has got the ear of the hierarchy at Chelsea. That's not a criticism of Chelsea, because it happens at every club. It's clubs favour particular agents at any one time. But I do think it happens more at Chelsea than maybe some of the others.
Is that because they haven't got a director of football?
Well, exacerbated because they don't at the moment. I mean, they did, you know, when all these guys were joining, when Jarabchin, for example, was in at Chelsea, Emanalo was in place. So it's not as if these, you know, these guys were sort of dominating the scene when there was a director of football in place as well. So I just think it sort of allows for this to happen, and it's just who's got your ear at the moment. Chelsea have got the power to go and the contacts to go and sign virtually any player in the world. Pretty much virtually any player in the world if they wanted to. So they will know the cream of the crop out there. They will know the best players available in virtual. They've got a fantastic scouting system still. But it maybe lacks the focus because it's such a far-reaching system. The head of recruitment, that sporting director, at least provided sort of a filter process to getting through into the head coach and indeed to the hierarchy above him.
Dom, you've been a star, brilliant. As ever. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Happy weekend, pal. I hope you enjoy yourself wherever you are off to this weekend, watching football. Clayton Beerman, isn't it? He is at the theatre tomorrow, watching the matinee. And you know what? I can't wait to hear all about it next week. Are you open here? Is it a tin of beer?
No.
Oh, okay. So big.
It was a personal problem.
That's Jonathan Kidd. He's here all week.
This is Love Sport. 558 AM. Love Sport.
Jonathan Kidd's just had a couple of minutes to get over his personal problem. Are you feeling better?
No.
I've just told Stanford Chidge that tomorrow his aim, his task is to get a card off of Johnny Spanner. Of course you can do that because you're on the score tomorrow.
I am score for all your London games, matey.
Awesome, matey.
I can't wait.
Thank you for your contribution.
I'm going to be saying thank you for your contribution. I'm really looking forward to it, man.
I'll tell you what, I might even call in.
You should do it. I mean, what is it? Yeah. 6 hours on broadcasting?
It's five and a half.
Five and a half hours.
5.5 hours. You know. I did it last week.
Yeah, it's good.
It was thoroughly
enjoyable.
I phoned
up a few times because when we've been at the game, you know, we've often spoke to James and Dickie when they've been on, so going to be great.
Well, you never know. I might call you with my contribution, mate.
Are you? Ooh. And I'll say thank you for your contribution, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
Considering you were paid to be there, that's not a bad effort.
Should we talk transfer window or do you want to talk Chelsea versus Newcastle?
Chelsea versus Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Again, surely.
Okay. Well, I'll ask Jonathan. Transfers, or...
Get in the picture, quick. Quick, get in the picture.
They're having a picture.
No, quick, and again, quick. Whoa, no, I'm not in.
Oh,
no,
for God's sake. Get on with it, David Bailey.
Mike Clayton, quick.
I think we'll do Newcastle, because he can't answer.
Newcastle.
Yeah. Because...
I prefer to talk about transfers.
Well, okay, talk about transfers then.
But can I ask you a question?
None of them is true.
Is Gary
None of
Gale
them. Nobody's coming anywhere.
In the
Nobody's
door,
going
out
anywhere.
The door. Is
there
he hovering around the door?
Zappa Costa, off. Cahill, off. Ambidu should
but
be
they
playing.
Might they might well go off. But listen,
who's a replacement?
Can we simmer down, Jonathan?
Well,
simmer
you down. wouldn't be in my photo.
Don't give him sweeties and Coca-Cola. He'll be like a 5-year-old on whatever.
Already
anyway,
five.
Higuain, I think, is going to happen. Actually, I'm feeling quite bullish about that it's going to happen, and also that Morata is going to go to Atletico Madrid, which I'm also quite happy about. So there you go. I hope that that Higuain, or Pigwain, as I called him last week, will come on and play on Thursday and score the winner against Spurs and become an instant Chelsea legend.
A George Weah moment.
Yeah, it would
but
be.
He was 34 when he played for Chelsea, so why are we
Higuain,
worried that he's
Higuain's
31?
Only 31.
31.
Yeah.
Can we coin the name Wayne for him?
No, because I think Pigwain,
Wayne.
I think
yeah, Higuain.
No.
As in Wayne.
No.
Wayne Higuain.
No. Pigwain.
No?
Pigwain is much better.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, but well, that's the last time we'll hear it, too. So Pigwain is better.
Why? Why is Pigwain better?
He's a bit fat and he's a goal pig.
Okay. It's a bit sort of...
I think he's...
a bit lewd.
No, not even lewd. It's a bit, you know, convoluted.
Oh, shut up. Envy is a terrible thing.
I'm not aware the slightest. I was just thinking, I don't get it, you know.
I love your beanie hat. You're looking very ute tonight.
I'm de ute tonight.
You are looking very ute.
That's me.
Anyway.
So where is Gary Cahill, by the way? Because apparently that game in the Cup against Forest was his last game, it was Fabregas.
Sorry,
Forest. Cahill didn't play.
No, he didn't.
I thought it was supposed to be his last game, wasn't it?
No, that was Fabregas.
I thought it was both of them.
No.
Well,
Cahill was on
not even
on the
bench. I don't think he was he?
Yeah, he was on the bench.
Bottom line is, Sarri... No, I don't think he was, because Sarri said last week that he's not playing him at the moment because his head's not in the game. And I think it's because he's either is definitely going or is contemplating going. I don't know.
Well, perhaps he and Drinkwater have formed a club and they just, you know, go out.
Do you know, I saw that Drinkwater was compared to... It was like a 21st version, a 21st century version of Bogard, and Winston Bogard, which I thought was a bit rich.
Well, he was 40,000 a week, whereas Drinkwater is 100,000 a week.
And what inflation
and it's
has
and
hit.
And it's a five-year contract as well.
Yeah, but the thing is, the difference is...
Yeah.
Well, there isn't really much of a difference.
No.
Neither manager wants to play them, and I think in Drinkwater's case, it's a shame.
Winston
Bogard.
Yeah.
But he doesn't fit the pattern, I suppose, is what it is, isn't it?
So. Well, you know, he doesn't fit the pattern. Well, he's supposed to be a coach that trains players to play in his system. Drinkwater's a professional footballer,
yeah.
An international.
Yeah.
Why can't he train
Why can't
him to
he
play?
Be Ross Barkley? Why can't he play that position?
Well, I don't know why he can't play the Jorginho position. I mean, he's not that sort of player, but he's a footballer. He's skillful.
Yeah, he could learn. He's very
and he
skillful.
He probably wants to play football.
Yeah. Well,
so perhaps, why can't yeah. you, you know, use him? I think the whole sort of I'm not interested in him is really
well. Perhaps we don't know. Perhaps there's been some attitude there from him. We don't know. Perhaps
I understand not. I understand he's a very, very popular member of the squad.
A very sweet man.
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know about if he's a sweet man.
Well, sounds as if he's popular. He must
or
be
if he's
sweet.
A sweetie man.
Or a sweetie man.
Yeah, I never know.
Can we talk about...
Speaking of sweeties.
Gonzalez. Iguan.
Wayne.
Wayne.
Is he the answer to all your problems?
Well, on the basis that we don't have a striker, we've got nothing to lose by bringing him in.
No.
And I have to say that I spent a very productive 20 minutes at lunch yesterday watching YouTube videos of him.
Me too.
And his movement off the ball is fantastic.
He knows where the goal is.
Yeah, I mean, I understand he misses as many as he scores, but
well,
that's
you know.
Fine. But he's got movement, which we haven't seen for a long time.
What's that? Yeah.
I think that in this year he's struggled, but according to people who know a lot more about Italian football than I do, apparently Milan have... had it's been a graveyard for forwards since the Swede left.
Wouldn't you agree that Chelsea has been at some point?
No, because basically you only have to look back two seasons and Costa was there, so
I know, but it's, from the Roman Abramovich era, and this is not me having a dig or anything, but if you think about the actual the number of forwards that Chelsea have brought
Drogba
in,
Drogba and Costa, yeah. Everybody else has been a failure. To some
Crespo,
extent.
Crespo.
No, Crespo was pretty good. He was all right.
Crespo was fantastic.
Mutu was right for half a season.
What?
Yeah. For half a season.
Yep. Who?
Mutu.
Yeah, until
for half
but
a
you
season.
Know,
yeah.
the whole
that, oh, you were being amusing there by going, oh, yeah, sorry was, about yeah. that. I thought you had a cold.
I do. Higuain.
Isn't it Higuain?
Higuain.
Yeah.
He could be Samuel Eto'o.
Higuain.
Because we all thought, what on earth are they doing bringing Eto'o in? Yeah. And he had a really productive
he
season.
He did. But what was so lovely about him was the way that he would lurk behind the goalkeeper and then kick the ball away when they put the ball down to kick it out. Yeah. I loved that. That was the kind of dark arts from a centre forward. I liked Eto'o. I like Eto'o's energy. He was he wasn't up to, he wasn't the player he'd been before. But God, he put a lot. Put it about, and I don't even mean physically. I mean, he just really tried. What a trier.
And I think the thing is with Wayne is that he's going to have the fans behind him because they really, really want him to succeed.
Yeah, but also he worked wonderfully well in the Sarri system.
Yeah. But we're not playing it.
Well, perhaps we might start playing it better if there's a target man, if there's a fulcrum. Yeah. Exactly. So, Chidge, Clayton, you wanted to say something?
No, I am quite comfortable with him coming in.
Me too. I'd be very pleased. We need somebody to come in.
I don't understand. Why are there so many London clubs who are desperate for a striker? And I'm not just talking about the Premier League. Going through the Football League.
Loads of clubs are desperate
for
a striker.
How many London clubs are of under sort of, you know...
So, Palace, West Ham, us...
Watford,
Spurs.
I had Watford fans on the other night turning around going, Troy Deeney's the only striker we've got. And he's sort of ineffectual sometimes.
You know the answer to that.
Well, he's reffing games at the same time.
It's crazy.
So.
But you know the answer to that. You know the answer to that because very few clubs are able to get away with having 2 to 3 top quality strikers because a top quality striker doesn't want to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Strikers are all about ego.
Think about the days when Chelsea used to have 4 quality strikers on the bench. Arsenal had 4 quality strikers.
When?
Early 2000s.
I had a good Johnson, Jimmy, Floyd, Hasselbaink.
Zola.
Good Johnson. Same time. Yeah.
Zola. You had Flo lurking around.
That was the last time. When Drogba was there, you had Kalou.
Saw everybody else off.
Anelka.
Intermittently, you had Anelka.
Yeah, that was the last time we had two top quality strikers.
Because we basically...
But Ancelotti would often play them together, wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. But because we had the farcical situation, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. We always get ourselves in this position. We started a season off with Torres and Barr as our only two strikers. Yeah. We've done it. Year after year. You're quite right, because I heard somebody talking about Spurs buying a forward in. Mm. And I believe that they approached Morata before we did. And Morata's attitude will was, you've got Harry Kane, when am I going to play? Mm. And that's exactly right. How many teams play two strikers?
That's the thing. I was talking to the Spurs fans yesterday. I said they are so fortunate that they came across someone like Son who can play up top, on the left, on the right, down the middle, you know, as a number 10. And I think clubs need more of those players. Basically, they need quite a few of them Solomon Kalous lurking around. Someone who's a bit of a Jim will fix it. Not a Jim will fix it. That's terrible.
Yeah, you shouldn't have used him as an example. But also at the same time, you shouldn't use Solomon Kalou, who was not one of the greatest players.
No, he wasn't one of the greatest players, but he was someone who could do a job.
No, he wasn't.
He's not a big fan of Solomon Kalou. No, I should break that to you gently.
A man who can kick the ball over the crossbar from 2 inches on the line is somebody that I really don't want to
have anything to do with. It was one of the finest misses I've ever seen.
Excuse me.
Oh, contention.
Yes. I'll have you know that Solomon Kalou
is a Champions League winner. Right.
Right, he therefore is a legend, and he also has the same birthday as me.
I'm sorry, I take it all back. Although he's absolutely a bit younger. Right. You're absolutely
only
right.
Only a week or so.
Yeah. My lord, I'm begging your pardon, because we have championship action this evening from Carrow Road. It's Norwich City versus Birmingham City. It's a full house at Carrow Road as well, so, which is nice to see on a Friday night.
Is that necessary to interrupt me, talking about Chelsea, to talk about a championship side who play in yellow and green?
I am begging your pardon.
You did, that was true. You were very polite. Yes, I take it all back, Chidge. You're absolutely correct. He was indeed a legend for playing in that game.
And his shorts came down in a game once.
And they did once, yes. You're absolutely correct.
My lord, once again, I'm begging for your pardon. There is championship action this evening. 0-0 between Norwich City and Birmingham City.
I think we know that.
I'm just saying it's 0-0.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm getting funny gestures from outside the window to say, will you go for a break? But on the way back, we're going to be talking hashtag Chelsea together.
Could somebody phone in, please?
It's all in the name. Love Sport Radio. This is Love Sport.
Yeah, this is Love Sport Radio. Good evening. Thanks for joining us. It's the Chelsea Fancast. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark is in Cincinnati. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Not bad, pal. Not bad. Thanks for giving us a bell this evening. What do you want to say?
Actually, I was calling to talk to the guys. They had this conversation on the Fancast from Monday about, you know, do we follow Chelsea to win, or is it more for an entertainment? And I was calling to actually think, when I was actually thought about it during the Fancast, and I, you know, I think I lean more towards watching it for just the sheer enjoyment of it. You know, I don't go into it thinking we'll win necessarily. I hope that we win, but I think, you know, it's good for a human to root for and put yourself into something that you can't really control necessarily. I think that's healthy as a human. So I think I really watch Chelsea more just to be entertained for 2 hours on a Saturday morning or Sunday.
I get what you're saying, Mark. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think it depends really on what your definition of entertainment is and also what your expectation of it is. Because, I don't go to be entertained. My expectation is not to see world-class, dazzling football with 25 kind of worldy moments a match, and if I don't get that, I'm disappointed, because actually the whole day is entertaining for me. I get to see my mates, I have a few laughs, I get drunk, I watch a bit of football, I have a good day. That in itself is entertainment. I think the point I made on the show on Monday was that I think there was a whole kind of storm going on around Twitter about, you know, should it be entertaining, as in, you know, a better quality of football that you're watching, or is it about winning? I think that's what the debate was about. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I'm sort of with you, you know, like sports is kind of just, it's like an event and everything else that kind of goes along with it. So when I say I do it for the entertainment, it's not, you know, to have 70% possession. It's just to, you know, watch it with my friends or wake up at 7 o'clock in my pajamas and stand in front of the TV and then talk about it on Twitter or talk about it amongst my friends. When I say entertainment, I don't mean necessarily the brand of football, but I watch it because it's just something that I've done for so long. Yeah. And, you know, if we don't win, it doesn't mean that I am upset for the whole day. But
it does with me.
You know, I'm still happy overall.
No, I'm completely upset if we lose. In fact, the desire for the ball to be in the net is what has driven me since I was little. That's all I want, is the ball in the net for Chelsea.
As a psychotherapist, I could analyse the hell out of that
statement. I'm sure you could, and I'd like you to.
Okay. There's some symbolism in there, mate, that you really don't want to know about.
I think this is... The whole debate's come up because the last three home games have been dire to watch. They've just been very, very dull. And I think the frustration, certainly from my point of view, is that those players on the pitch are better than what we're watching. And the system isn't working at the moment, and it will take time to work. And he obviously hasn't got the players that he wants to make it work. Because what I'd be interested in is how many of those players, outfield players, that played, let's say, last Saturday, played against Everton when we won 5-0 in the greatest home
most
display
of, yeah,
of all time.
Most of them.
So that's
the weirdness of football, isn't it? I mean, honestly, Clayton, my perspective, really, it's all about expectation. You know, if you go to football to see your team win... Mm. Then your expectations are going to mean that you're going to be disappointed a lot, because very few teams win every match. If your expectations are to be entertained, then again you're going to end up disappointed more times than not, because it's not all teams can play at a level which is just breathtakingly brilliant every minute of every 90-minute game. And I mean, for example, the game against Newcastle, this is what we did talk about on Monday, the game against Newcastle is a case in point. A lot of it was turgid, but in a sense, the entry fee alone was worth it to see Willian score that goal, because it was superb. I mean, I defy anybody to say that that wasn't a brilliant moment in a match.
Absolutely.
But you don't get 90 minutes of that, do you?
No, you don't. But you also don't get 90 minutes of passing the ball sideways.
Well, I think a lot of this is to do with the fact that we've been sold an ideal here as Chelsea supporters. We've said, give up your agricultural ways of grinding out, crunching out wins and being deliriously happy that you win lots of stuff. We're selling you the concept of something better, something bolder. It's called passing the ball forward and creating stuff, not playing counter-attack football. And what we're seeing is not that. So no. We're thinking, we've been sold a lemon here, mate, and we're not happy.
Well, we're seeing it in surges. Yeah. We're seeing it in bits.
But we've been sold this beautiful vision.
Yeah. Nowhere near that. But you can see that...
We've been sold a Rubens, and what we've got is some cartoon that some...
No, we haven't. No, we've got a half-finished Rubens.
Okay, that's a better analogy.
Yeah, because Guardiola is the... is the finished product.
He's the Michelangelo, isn't it?
No, he's the Rubens.
He's the Rubens, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what's Gary then?
I agree with you, Chidge, because, I think it was the year we won the title in 14-15 when we played Man United, and we had the ball for like maybe six of the 90 minutes, but we scored and won.
Yeah.
Everyone was elated.
Hell
but I
yeah.
think if we
yeah.
did that Saturday, if we did that tomorrow, people would still complain, even though we won. But like you say, the expectation is that we're going to play a beautiful brand of football. So even if we won, I think people would still be upset. In the same way that people were just fine with it when Jose was the manager,
well, because just playing
that's just how we played.
Just playing devil's advocate, Mark, I think when you're away from home, you don't mind it so much. You know, you don't mind keeping that possession. I think it's when you're at home and there is a duty upon you to be the attacking side and to play better football. But, I mean, if we have 80% possession tomorrow, which is very unlikely because Arsenal are a good team, and we come away with a squeaky 1-0, I won't give a monkey's whether I've been entertained or not. I mean, I don't think anybody that saw the Champions League final would have been entertained by the way we played that night, but we won it, and I wouldn't swap it for anything.
No, exactly.
Me too.
I think the reality is, Mark, we did say this too, you know, people like to make this into a very black and white binary thing, and the reality is, you know, like in life, it's not black and white, it's got shades of grey, so I think a lot of that gets lost in translation. But as always, Mark, great to hear from you. Thanks,
Mark,
for
wonderful to hear from you. Fantastic. This evening. The funny thing is, Chidge, in that call, you mentioned to Mark that, you know, going to football is it's about seeing your friends and
well,
having a drink and all that.
For me.
So basically, what you've done is you've just rewritten a verse of Chelsea, because you meet your mates, have a drink, have a moan, and start the thing. Yeah, so that's
will there be another tomorrow? Whatever it is,
a blue tomorrow.
Thank you.
Oh,
sorry, he doesn't get royalties now because I said it wrong.
Oh, he's on the carbonated beverages, pal. I mean, I can tell there's just something about it.
I've sparked up a bit. I was a bit drowsy before.
Do you know what you said? Doesn't even occur to me, but you're right. And actually, for a lot of us, that is what that is for me. Of the course. Entertainment. It's a day out with my mates. It's great fun.
Whereas I don't have any friends, and I really enjoy just going to the game 5-3, watching it, and going home.
Yeah. No. But I think.
But
I think
we have to win. The ball has to be in the net.
I thought you enjoyed the hospitality.
Yeah, but that's completely different.
But I've tried to break you out of this. You now have friends. You have us. We're trying to wean you away.
Are you a friend?
I am. I consider you a friend.
Clayton, are you a friend?
Yes, of course.
Very quickly, gents. Sky Sources this evening reported just before 7 o'clock that Fulham have agreed a deal with Chelsea to sign Gary Cahill. So there we have it. We'll be back with your 8 o'clock news very, very shortly. This is Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fancast.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow. Great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
5:58 AM. Love Sport. The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. Oh! They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Who's that, Chidge?
Timmy Mallet.
Oh, yeah, Timmy Mallet.
Can I tell you?
Timmy Mallet.
Can I tell you, like, just a really, really fun fact to go on? My uncle actually delivered a crate of rubber mallets to Timmy Mallet.
No way.
He lives in Royal Berkshire. If we can get my uncle on the phone, he's only up the road in London. He'll tell you he delivered a crate of rubber mallets to Timmy Mallet.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
But
brilliant.
Thank you, Chidge, because I take that as a compliment.
If anyone's listening out there and
fine entertainer
and was wondering, Kid Archie featured on this track. It's Chelsea by Suggs and
Jonathan Kidd, obviously.
And Jonathan Kidd, yeah.
Actually, I think it's more Jonathan Kidd and Suggs, to be fair.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, in the chorus it was. I don't think Suggs sang in the chorus, actually.
He's not strong enough. So.
I need to plug the quiz.
But first and foremost, let me say good evening to everyone. Welcome back to the second half of the show. It's Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea fan. I was delighted to be here this evening. Joining me this evening, Cleotine Bierman is in the building.
Good evening.
Looking like a right ute because he's on the soda tonight is Jonathan Kidd.
Good evening.
And Stanford Chidge.
Oi, oi.
As ever. Talk to us about your quiz, pal.
Yeah, I've been really remiss tonight. I didn't get the tweet out earlier on. So the response to it has been a bit tame, shall we say.
Aaron, you, sir? Tame. Do you know what you are?
I'm a shower.
An absolute shower.
I've been busy today. I've been busy. Leave me alone. I've been working hard. But we did have one response from the lovely Jerry Hamill, who quite correctly said, one of the best players of all time, the mighty Alan Hudson. Good old Huddy. Friend of the show, of course. Been on the fan cast before. Lovely, lovely bloke.
And what a marvellous player he was.
What a player.
And he left us at age 22. I don't mean left us to go to another higher plane. I meant to go off to Stoke City.
We lost him. Well, that because of the East Stand and all of that.
Yeah.
But a very apposite time to remind everybody, because Chidge forgot to put the tweet out. I have subsequently put a tweet out, but if you want to let us know... who played for both Chelsea and Arsenal, then tweet at Chelsea Fancast or at Love Sport Radio.
I've got one that may have been forgotten about.
What?
Steve Sidwell.
He didn't play for Chelsea and Arsenal.
He played for Arsenal.
He didn't play for Chelsea and he didn't play for Arsenal.
Of course he did.
Find me proof.
What do you mean he started his career at Arsenal?
Well, I didn't find him on the list.
He was a youth product, whether he made a first team appearance.
Excuse me.
He also
played for Fulham.
Yeah, but he didn't play for Arsenal. He may have been in their youth team, but.
Yeah, but he strolled round the Broadway.
I don't like this.
The clue is in the question. Who played for Chelsea and Arsenal?
Look, there he is.
Yeah, so he's got an Arsenal shirt on. Great.
And he looks like he's about to make one of those round the corner passes.
Yeah, but he could have been playing for the youth.
There he is, warming up. Oh, that's him playing for Villa, sorry.
I will have a steward's inquiry on this in the break, Aaron. But in the meantime, all they need to do, if people want to take part in this quiz, basically, at Chelsea Fancast, tweet us who played for Chelsea and Arsenal, or phone us, 0208 70 2558.
That is the number to call, 0208 70 2558, if you want to get involved in Chidge's quiz. We've got a goal. Mario Vrančić with the goal for Norwich City in that really rascal kit of it. Do you not agree it's a rascal kit?
Rascal, man. Rascal.
Rascal kit.
It is a very...
That's
very...
what we're going to call Jonathan.
Well, rascal kit.
Rascal kit.
I believe that the English cricket team is touring the West Indies at the moment, and rascal kit is the West Indies' new off-spinner.
Oh, wonderful. Kit. Wonderful.
Do you remember they used to have a bowler, or it was a batsman, I can't remember, called Elvis Reefer? I kid you not.
Brilliant name.
Great name. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Elvis Reefer.
Steve Sidwell, Arsenal. Yeah, no, but
you're going off Wikipedia.
Aaron, Neil Pwan.
You're going off Wikipedia.
But that's the only source there is, you know that.
No, there are more.
Television
more
and radio basically is built on Wikipedia.
There are more. I'm going to find one.
More questions than answers.
Oh, very good. So there we go. Can we talk about something else?
Yeah, let's talk about hashtag Chelsea together.
Yes, shall I talk about that? Yes, amazing today. There's a whole group of Chelsea supporters, whether they be kind of supporter organisations or bloggers or podcasts, whatever, who have kind of got together. Really an attempt to kind of, make a stand, really, about the recent anti-Semitism and racism that has been in and around Stamford Bridge. You know, we've been taking a real kicking in the media because of it, as you can imagine. So we kind of grouped together and put out a statement today, and it got a huge amount of traction, Aaron. I've got to say, a lot of media coverage about it, including... it was mentioned in... It's a shame we didn't get to talk to Dom about it, but we'd had him on the line for so long, I kind of felt guilty trying to keep him on for longer. But it got mentioned in Sarri's press conference. He was asked about it. And I think, actually, what he said was bang on. I mean, he said, look, 99% of Chelsea fans are absolutely brilliant. It's only a very small minority, which is also true, and one shouldn't forget that. But I think it's just nice for people to kind of get together and try and say and do something positive, which is what it's really all about. So we're involved. Podding Shed's involved. London is Blue is involved. We're the Shed. Whole load of groups. Supporters Trust, of course. Chelsea Pride. So there you go. Boys, over to you. What do you think?
Well, anything that puts out a voice, trying to get rid of all the nastiness and all the unpleasantness and the things that we are being, you know, known as, has got to be a good thing. I mean, you know, I'm a Chelsea fan, born and bred. I'm not a racist. But my club is basically tainted that the supporters are all racist.
Which is not true.
And it needs to have this assembly of fancasters and media operators to fight back, because at the moment we appear to be the focus of a large amount of hatred. That,
but the club is to be commended, because the club is leading that fight back as well.
Indeed, but it, at the same time,
it can't be all about them.
Yeah, and there are so many people in other clubs who are. So many other clubs are I'm afraid, is equally, it's an awful thing to say, but is equally
culpable.
Culpable.
Yeah, there's the word I was searching for. Culpable. Indeed. And so for us to be completely the cynosure in this situation is not something that should carry on. So I think this is unbelievably praiseworthy.
And it's really, I mean, the bed of it, from what I understand, if you read their mission statement, it's really, you know, just to really make the point that everybody should be welcome at football. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your religion is, what your gender is, anything like that. Everybody should be welcome to football. I mean, at the end of the day, it's quite simple. It says Chelsea together. You know, as long as you support Chelsea and you want to come and enjoy the game, that's all that should matter. So I think it's a pretty simple message, but a good one.
I think it's good that the Chelsea fans are actually being proactive in trying to, you know, sort of eradicate, you know, the negativity that sort of surrounded the club over the past sort of couple of months. I think it's very, very admirable.
I think the UEFA are going to really single out what exactly is this is all about if they start closing vast amounts of the ground, because we're found guilty of these anti-Semitic chants. So, which we know what they are, and the people refusing to pay attention to the consensus that they should be stopped will result in us losing money and losing losing atmosphere and possibly losing points as a consequence, or even facing an exodus from a cup.
Empty grounds and all of that.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll keep aside it as things move on. You know, we certainly will. There's been a third goal for Norwich. Yeah, a brilliant goal by Tom Tribal, a header straight from a corner, but an opportunity for them as well. Our reporter is Clayton Beerman.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, it was a very good goal, terrible marking, header from the corner, boom, straight in, and then about a minute later, somebody, who was it?
It's Timo Pukki.
Was it Pukki again? Pukki again, nice little flick just past the post.
Inches.
Inches. Birmingham do look all at sea, and it's that is a booking for Michael Kiftenbelt.
Kiftenbelt.
Kiftenbelt. Oh, no, sorry.
That's a terrible accent.
I don't even know what it was.
Let's take
I don't
a know where it was from. We're going to come back and we're going to be talking about Petter the Great.
Love Sport, 558 AM. Love Sport. This is Love Sport.
Yeah, don't forget you can catch Stamford Chidge on The Score tomorrow from 2:30. Who are you with?
Sammy James.
Sammy James.
Sammy James Jr.
But not Timo Pukki.
Cousin of Sammy Davis Jr. No. Well, I thought Ricky Sachs was going to be on, but clearly Ricky's got better things to do. But it's me and Sammy from Fulhamish podcast.
What time are you on, Chidge?
I'm on at 2:30, Jonathan.
Okay, I'll try and ring
you. Will you tune in?
Yes, I will. I'll ring in. I'll find something to talk about.
Can you please do the rest of the show in that voice?
No, please. No.
Please do the rest of the show in that voice. Please. I'll bring you as many beverages as you want over the next...
I like this Diet Coke.
It's a Coca-Cola Zero.
Oh, sorry, didn't realise.
I've got a serious question for you. Don't make him do this the whole show. I won't be able to. Listen, you've done this show from 2:30 to 8:00.
Yeah.
What does one do for food and beverages for 5.5 hours of work?
A small boy comes in and gives him gives him
well,
food.
you've got to be careful of your consumption and whatnot.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't want to be having to leap out for early.
No. It's not ideal. Okay.
He gives me a bright sixpence and I'll go out and get something for him.
Anyway,
that's the best voice he's ever done.
Before we talk about Petter the Great, the good denizens of the Chelsea Fancast Twitter page have done themselves proud. And I'm sorry that. Rob Dog, you're wrong. Rancho Blue. Hey, Love Sports. Stanford. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. I take it all back. I can't read, mate. I've got my glasses on the wrong way around. He says, hey, Love Sport Radio. Stanfordshire is correct. Sybil never made an appearance with the Arsenal first team. Spot on, mate. But we've had some great answers. Philip Monday, Tommy Dock. Absolutely. Tommy Baldwin, George Graham, John Hollins, Graham Ricks, Lasana, Diarra, all played for Chelsea and Arsenal. John Smith says, Emmanuel Petit, Tommy Baldwin, George Graham, Johnny Hollins and Graham Ricks. He whispers very quietly and quietly indeed. You're right, because Graham played for us when loads of people were out injured or something. And he only made about one appearance.
He played in the great Vienna game when John Spencer scored that goal from the halfway line. From the penalty area.
And Dan, or at Dano Burgess 7, says, oh, that slowpoke who went to Monaco. Cesc, of course. And lovely, Dan Silves. Hello, Dan. Media star that you are. Ben Ayoun, of course, Yossi Ben Ayoun, and Nicholas Anelka. And Dan also says Ashley Cole, William Gallis, Manu Petit, check.
Manu Petit.
Dean Mears, check Cole, Gallus. And that's about all we've had so far, but all of those are right.
He was dreamy, wasn't he, Manu Petit?
Isn't it funny? The most,
rubbish for us.
The most obvious one hasn't been mentioned yet.
Okay, you're going to keep your powder dry on that?
Who, Nicholas Anelka?
No.
Better check?
No.
Well, Olivier Giroud.
Yeah,
that's true. They've not mentioned
it. Sent Colin Pates.
Yeah, Colin Pates.
That's definitely on the list. Well done, Aaron.
No, that's not me. That was Paddy.
Well, Paddy's not playing, is he?
Thank you. We've got a call.
Some people think that Paddy's not playing.
We have a call.
Okay, we'll have a call.
You can answer it in your funny voice.
What, that voice?
Yeah, okay. Yannick's on the line. How are you, Yannick?
Please don't.
Hello, Yannick.
Evening, gents. How you all doing?
All right, mate. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I thought I'd just... hello, JK. How you doing, mate?
All right, mate. Thanks.
I'm pleased to hear it, bruv.
Oh, thanks, mate. Good voice.
I'm going to kill him.
Cockney. So I don't know if it's a Cockney voice or a child's voice or perhaps a child Cockney
it's
voice.
It's a Cockney child.
It's a Cockney child, mate. Yeah, no problem.
All right, can you...
Hello, mate. You can sweet much in me.
Yeah, right. Thanks, mate. Wait. Do you ever watch...
Enough.
Do you watch some weird.
Yannick. Paddy, turn his mic off or something. Go on, Yannick.
Bring some normality back to this.
Please.
Yeah, just thought I'd check in with you gents, and I wanted to get your thoughts on the weekend's fixture and see if you share optimism with me.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good about that, but I wanted to get your thoughts about
it. Yes, Yannick, completely. We'll raise our game, we'll play very well, and we'll win.
Lovely, lovely scenes. Okay, good evening.
I agree with him, actually, and because I've done quite a few podcasts and things this week with Arsenal Sports. That's what I've been saying, you know, that if you look at our games this year, apart from the awful shambles at Spurs, which was a nightmare, we know, but basically every time we played a big team, a good team, we've raised our game. And I think that's, you know, I've spoken a lot in the last few months saying there's something quite kind of late 90s about this Chelsea team. You know, they don't put it in against the rubbish teams and they can get beaten, but they really do put it in against the big teams and invariably they don't get beaten. You know, City, United, Liverpool haven't beaten us this year. I mean, you know, United maybe not very good, but you know what I mean.
What does that tell you?
Well, that the mentality's wrong, frankly.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm.
That tells me the mentality's wrong, and that tells me that the manager isn't getting them up for the smaller games. Mm.
But I didn't think the manager knew about the Spurs game, which he mentioned, didn't he? He hadn't realised it meant so much. You just go, well, why hasn't the board told you? Why hasn't anybody in the ground told you? Why haven't you done your research as a manager?
Unlike us, they don't hate Tottenham.
JK on that.
Yeah. I mean, that went under the radar, and I think that didn't deserve to go under the radar.
No,
I couldn't believe that statement. If that was the truth, why on earth would you go out and say it publicly? I think that was disgraceful.
But doesn't that been a problem with most of the new managers? They just somehow have airily missed this kind of rivalry. They haven't got this. Because I remember even having to be explained to somebody. So what do you want to say, Yannick? Sorry, mate.
No, sorry, JK. I want to cut off. I just wanted to interject there, and I think that was a bit of a sort of just a poor defence mechanism from Sarri. I don't believe that he genuinely. You know, you come to a club, you know what football's like these days. He's going to be like, okay, so I'll learn about Chelsea. Oh, I wonder who Chelsea's like biggest rivals are. Oh, you know, they've got songs about Tottenham rightly or wrongly. So I believe he would have been. Not only would he just know from you know. If he's a manager worth his salt, he'd do a bit of a research, but he would have been prepped by the club.
Well, the other thing is, who sits next to him every single game? Who spends the whole week coaching? Yeah. What, Zola doesn't know that there's a rivalry? I'm sorry, that was just nonsense.
Yeah, it was a poor defence mechanism from Sarri. But I want to quickly talk about the game, if you chaps don't mind, for a couple of minutes. I called up and I spoke to the Arsenal fan show that Aaron hosted. Those lads were talking about, we were both talking about getting exposed on the flanks, because you remember that the reverse fixture, how it was a bit of a sort of mental game in the sense of you attack, we attack, and we kept getting roasted on the flanks with cutbacks, and it was at the time when it was vogue to miss sitters against Chelsea. You remember there was that sort of period for a bunch of games in all competitions?
Yeah, exactly.
So, same again. It would be the Marcus Alonso flank, I imagine, that might leave space behind for like Iwobi and Aubameyang.
Sarri mentioned it in his press conference today. He said that he's been doing a lot of work with them this week because he's noticed that that's what Arsenal do. They attack the space, and I think he realises that we can be vulnerable there. So he's well aware of that. He mentioned it in the presser.
Particularly on Alonso's side, not on Dave's side.
The other thing that's actually quite encouraging is this is the first week for I don't know how many months that he's actually had the players for a week without a midweek game. And he does his main work is on the coaching, and it might pay dividends that he's had them for that whole week.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. And he's a meticulous coach, like I guess all sort of big coaches are. I don't know if he's quite he made some quite interesting comments on the Bielsa thing that I did see. I did hear a bit of his presser. I don't know if you chaps heard that.
I was watching it.
Yeah, so it was interesting when he was referencing Spygate, and he says, referenced it in his TV. I liked how he's like, I heard he was very big into video analysis prior to his appointment at Chelsea, but he was like, yeah.
He's even supposed to do drones, isn't he? You wonder if he's been doing, sending...
He said he doesn't do spying. He says my spies aren't very good.
No, drone analysis. Of his own players.
But you wonder whether the drone must, slip over to White Hart Lane or something.
They did it at Werder Bremen. They were using drones to spy, I think, wasn't it, against Werder Bremen, some German team? Anyway, whatever. Yannick, are we going to win? What's your prediction?
Yeah, we're going to win 3-1, Chidge, because they'll eventually do us down on one of the flanks. Sarri will be lucid to this, but their defence is too poor, and even though we won't have old Higgins in and Giroud won't play, the front three will get some goals.
Great stuff.
Any Chelsea and Arsenal players you know about then, Yannick? Can you chip in?
Petacek, Fabregas, Anelka.
That's good off the top of your head. That's good.
Yeah, they're the three. So, well, they're like, Anelka's being a big one, and obviously, Giroud.
I've got one that isn't on a list nobody will get.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Thank you for your call, Yannick. Cheers, really appreciate you giving us a bell. Like Yannick, you can give us a call 0208 70 25 is the number to call.
Love Sport.
Hello there. Love Sport Radio with me, Aaron Ball. Stan Fitchich is in the building. Jonathan,
get down.
Get
right
get
down.
Down.
It's the best disco in town.
Ow.
Number one is all around.
I'm so groovy.
Can he do the rest of the show in that accent, please?
I can, if you like.
With the lift, man.
If you like me to have a lift, yeah.
Aaron.
Did somebody call you a sleazy solicitor on Twitter today?
Never ever give him sweets and Coca-Cola while we're doing this show ever again.
I'm bringing him every week. What are you about? I bring him the little bar every week. I have his water.
But what the listeners can't see is his face while he's doing this. It's a bit... I can't even describe it. Anyway, can we talk about something football related?
Yeah, it's the sounds of Earth, Wind and Fire there on Love Sport Radio this evening.
Yeah, there we go. Earth, Wind and Fire.
Surely, it's calling you
surely wind.
Wind.
I'm wind. Surely.
Yeah, you
yeah what
are.
With your personal problems?
Exactly.
Let's talk Petr. Let's talk Petr the Great. Petr Cech, of course, announcing his retirement from football this week. However, Chelsea have said that they will be offering Cech a role post retirement. Yeah. He doesn't know what role it is going to be. It's hardly going to be kitchen porter, is it?
No. They said in an ambassadorial role.
Why would he
or coaching.
Interested?
Or coaching, yeah. Why would he what, mate?
Why would he be interested in an ambassadorial role?
Because he gets
much.
To eat lots of Ferrero Rocher.
When he can come into Aussies and see us all by our lying down, by our open fires, being waited on, given our venison pie.
Bearskin rugs.
Yes.
To be honest, I agree with you.
Best of toucan.
He would be wasted in an ambassadorial role because this is one of the greatest keepers of his generation, arguably the greatest keeper in the Premier League, certainly the greatest goalkeeper we've ever had. You want him in a football capacity, don't you, Clayton?
Possibly. And the only reason I hesitate is because there's obviously a goalkeeping coaching setup at the club, and Kepa is settled in very nicely and doing very well, and maybe bringing somebody else in would upset the apple cart,
yeah,
as
true.
They say
that's
in
true.
The trade. Yes.
What I was going to say, Chidge's earlier statement, he said, probably one of the best goalkeepers Chelsea has ever seen, if not the best goalkeeper Chelsea have ever had, and the greatest goalkeeper, I was going to say one of the greatest goalkeepers.
He's better than Schmeichel. He won more. Well, not as many
no,
in Premier
didn't.
Leagues. Actually, no, he didn't. I'll take that back. I retract that stupid comment.
I don't think he won more than Van der Sar either.
Which was said in haste and excitement.
Didn't win more than Van der Sar.
Oh, go. Shut
but
up.
Come on. He's one of the greatest keepers the Premier League has ever seen. 100%.
Why did we allow him to leave?
Because Raymond liked him and we kind of...
Well, because
we
had Courtois on the bench, didn't you?
It was the pressure of Courtois, wasn't it?
We gave it all up for the snake,
as we did. We did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is understandable because he was youth. He was young.
At the time, was the correct decision. Hindsight is wonderful.
It is. But what's... I think that there is an element... I don't know about you guys, but for me, there was a real element of sadness attached to this because he is the last of that great spine to retire. You know, John Terry's retired. Frank Lampard's retired. Didier Drogba's retired.
SEN.
No, the spine, you numpty.
Oh,
spines
sorry.
Don't go unless your back's screwed, mate. You should go and see a doctor. But, the spine was Cech, Terry, Lampard, Drogba. And they've all retired. And I thought a tinge of sadness about that. He was the last to go. The greatest spine we ever had as a team.
He's not gone yet.
Well, I know, at the end
he's
of the
got,
season.
He's got know, another... You know, 6 months.
I was dismayed by the rude tweeting about him by Arsenal fans. Just saying that he wasn't up to it and he gave too many goals away and that we deliberately allowed him to go there because we knew that he was on his last legs.
We did, didn't we?
That's true. That's Agent Chidge knows all.
Yeah. No, but I mean, he wasn't, they're basically glossing over. It's only perhaps in the last year or so when all the sort of the change in the goalkeeping regime, that goalkeepers had to be good with their feet, and Petr, unfortunately, is from a different generation and he's not very good with his feet. I mean, my view is you've got to be able to stop the ball going past you, and he's one of the best that there's ever been in the Premier League. I mean, he's a great goalkeeper for us. Absolutely brilliant. And I think one of the greatest things about him is it was so understated. You didn't actually realise how good he was.
Yeah. Munich, he'll be indelibly etched into all of our minds, particularly those of us who were there, what he did that night in Munich. We would not have won that Champions League if it hadn't been for him. But I also remember things like that save in the cup final.
Which was
just
the week earlier.
You know, which was Banks-esque in its brilliance.
Unbelievable.
Because that goal was in.
I know.
He clawed it out from
Absolutely.
Andy Carroll.
Absolutely. I mean, it was on the BBC website and they showed it from every different angle. And it was quite interesting because if you looked at the reaction of all of the people around that, Carroll wheeled away, thought he'd scored and then did a double take.
Yeah.
Everybody behind the goal was up thinking it was a goal. Yeah. It was a phenomenal save. And he made another brilliant save against Manchester United in the FA Cup, I think against Chicharita. Similar save, something that never gets mentioned, and we would have won the league anyway, but when we won the league at Bolton, it was 0-0, and Bolton nearly scored through Jeremy,
And he made a phenomenal save. I mean, he made loads of phenomenal saves, but like all good goalkeepers, because he made it look easy...
It doesn't get talked about.
It doesn't get talked about. And the other thing which really doesn't get talked about in terms of how great he was to have come back from one of the worst tackles in the history of the Premier League.
Absolutely.
You know, and he came back after that. You know, if he would have retired and never played again, it wouldn't have been a surprise. But the bravery to come back and protect himself...
Play with that risk as well. Because he was at risk, wasn't he?
Absolutely, completely. Yeah. And you, when he came back, I don't know if you remember, he was a different sort of goalkeeper. But he was still a very, very good goalkeeper.
Absolutely.
There you have it. There you have it. At 8.32, we're going to take a pause. Half-time in the game at Carrow Road, Norwich 3, Birmingham City 1. Looking forward to watching a few more goals there. Don't forget, after 9 o'clock time, we also have your Fulham fan show.
Love Sport, 5.58 a.m.
Yeah, don't forget some big fixtures this week. And by the way, just to let you know, because it's quite important, Cowdenbeath Rangers is off tonight. And guess what? Anyone who's at the ground gets free pies.
I like that offer.
Doesn't everyone? They get free pies because the game has been called off. A match postponed tomorrow afternoon. Chidge and Sammy James will be bringing you coverage of all the games. There's loads in the Premier League. West Ham travel to Bournemouth. Crystal Palace are at Liverpool. Julian Speroni set to make his first appearance in over a year for the Eagles. Well, a year and a bit now. He last played at the back end of December. Arsenal-Chelsea is the game at 5.30. Watford entertaining Burnley. Elsewhere in the Championship, Millwall are away at Middlesbrough, Brentford at Rotherham United, QPR entertain Preston North End. A big game for Wimbledon, they entertain Barnsley. Elsewhere, and Charlton are in action as well at the Valley, they take on Accrington Stanley. We're going to be getting an opposition view very, very shortly, and it comes from Mr. Harry Simeon, friend of the station, of course, from Chronicles of a Good and world famous bouzouki player. How are you, Harry?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Good to have you on with us this evening. A big, big derby in store. What are your thoughts about it? Firstly, in fact, you know what? Let's get your sort of thoughts on Petr Cech. Of course, announcing his retirement this week. He's a Chelsea legend. He's played at Arsenal as well. What are your thoughts when that announcement came out?
I was a little bit surprised, to be honest. I thought he probably had at least another year in him. But, you know, he's had a fantastic career. And I guess, you know, when it's better to go out on the top, isn't it? You know, to go out as a Premier League goalkeeper. And, you know, I was talking with Chidge the other day, actually, and we were talking about the honours that he's won. And when you look at his CV and his record, it's unbelievable, isn't it? And I think, you know, rightly so, there's going to be an influx of sort of plaudits for him in the next couple of... in the next few months between now and the end of the season, and it's deserved. He's the greatest goalkeeper in the Premier League ever. And I know that's a big statement, because you can talk about people like, for example, Peter Schmeichel, but when you just look at the longevity of his career and, of course, all the honours he's won and the European Cup and everything, you know, all combined, to me, he's the greatest ever.
Excellent stuff, Harry, and good to speak to you for the third time this week. How delightful. And thanks for helping us out, of course, mate. I mean, you know, something else you and I have been talking about. I mean, a bit like Chelsea, you know, after their very good start to the season, Arsenal's form dipped after going unbeaten for a long run. Why do you think that was?
It's hard to pinpoint one sort of specific reason, but I don't think Unai Emery's been getting things right of late. I think that some of his team selections have been very questionable. Some of his man management skills are now starting to come into question. When you look at people like Mesut Ozil and the situation that we've got on our hands there. I think it's a combination of things. I think with the sort of mood around the club has obviously taken a dramatic dip, given the news that we can't sign anyone on a permanent deal. That's really damaged the morale of the fans who felt that the change was really necessary, and it's finally come, and you kind of hope.
Oh, I think. He's back.
Yes. I'm back.
You're back. Sorry, mate. Go on.
About that, guys. Yeah, you know, mood around the club has taken a bit of a nosedive in the recent.
I'll tell you what, I think we'll get Harry back on another line. We're having a bit of an issue there. He sounded like he was in, you know, sort of on some. It was a reverb.
He sounded like a rapping.
Do they call that a reverb?
A bot.
Kiddo, is it? It's not a reverb.
I've overworked Harry so much this week doing all these podcasts with him that he's replaced himself with a Harry
a robot.
No, a Harry bot.
Well, he's
Harry
back
Bo.
Now.
Harry Bo.
He's back. Harry, if you just take the reverb setting off your phone, pal, and we can get you back on. He's there. Harry Simeon is back with us. Sorry, pal, you were saying?
I'm back. I apologize. I'm in the hospital. Just hanging about waiting now.
Oh, well. Excited. Good luck, mate.
Cheers. I'm going to need it. Plenty of gas in there for me as well, I think.
Yeah, brilliant. Good for you.
I think the mood around the club has just taken a huge nosedive, given some of the recent announcements about transfers. I've already touched on Unai Emery. I think some of his selections have been questionable. His man management skills are now coming into question as well. And I think, you know, a lot of the issues that we knew were at the club and we kind of swept to one side and hoped would disappear when we changed manager are starting to rear their ugly heads again. So it's a combination of things. You know, it's not one particular reason that Arsenal's form has dipped. I think it's a combination of things.
But you were doing so well before, didn't you? What was it, 22 games undefeated? What suddenly has turned it round? Has it just been a lack of cohesion? I thought you, Lacazette looks great. Aubameyang looks fantastic. I'm bemused as to what's happened. Because forgive me, but I'm not. You know, I don't only watch Match of the Day when I see Arsenal. So it's because there's too much football to watch. I watch my own club most of the time. So what's been going wrong?
Well, I think if you look at some of the partnerships that started to develop in that team during that unbeaten run that you're talking about, for example, Granit Xhaka and Lucas Torreira, formed a really good partnership in the middle of the park. We had a lot of injury problems, which meant that Granit Xhaka got moved into a central defensive position, unsettling that, and then we had a load of injuries in the defensive positions, and it's just, you know, as a result of injuries and not having maybe a deep enough squad, lots of chopping and changing has meant that, you know, we kind of lost our rhythm a little bit. And, you know, the defensive injuries caused Granit Xhaka to have to move back into defence.
You're
obviously weakening your midfield and then you're weakening your defence as well. He's also played at left back at times. I think that Unai Emery's change of formation where he's gone to the back three means that we're now heavily reliant on our wing backs to create chances. A bit like Chelsea were actually under Conte. But the problem with that is that's all well and good when your wing backs are fit, but with Nacho Monreal, Kolasinac having their injury issues and of course Hector Bellerin more recently, you know, you see that is a bit of a problem when you're relying on your wing backs and you've got makeshift players in those positions. For example, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who's actually a central midfielder.
Excellent. Harry, very quickly, how do you see it going tomorrow?
I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I've been saying that all week, so I'm going to stick to my guns. But yeah, 1-1 draw I think seems fair. And I'd have probably tipped Chelsea to beat us had it been at the Bridge, but just given that it's at the Emirates, I don't think we'll get beat. But I can't see us winning it either. So, yeah, 1-1.
Good stuff.
Brilliant stuff, Harry. Best of luck to you this evening in hospital. But yeah
good luck, mate.
Get on the gas and air, pal. Jonathan Kidd's had that before, so
all show actually.
Exactly. So
no, I haven't.
Thank you very much once again, Harry Seamy, for joining us. Your last knockings for your quiz. Get involved. 0208 70 25 58 at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, at Chelsea Fancast on Twitter. Make sure you get your late door entries in. We're going to carry on talking about Chelsea, Arsenal. In fact, Arsenal versus Chelsea tomorrow, won't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that Harry said right at the end is a major factor, is because I think their home record's very good. I mean, our away record's very good, but their home record's very good, and that's my biggest fear. I think it's a really hard one to call, to be perfectly honest. I mean, the crowd will be up for it. Their form is a bit on and off, but I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it's quite interesting. I don't know whether we will continue with the three amigos. I don't know. I've got no reason to suspect not. I know that you discussed it, and I think I actually tweeted it after the game against the Newcastle game, that we've got the wrong false number nine. The false number nine needs to be Pedro and not Hazard.
That's a good point, isn't it? You need Hazard on the wing, don't you, really?
We need Hazard on the wing, because that's where he does all his damage.
He does a lot of shaking his head, though, on the wing, because he doesn't get the ball enough. Because I noticed when he
just does a lot of shaking his head, because he's probably thinking,
what am I doing at this club?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he has shown a lot of signs of frustration in the last couple of weeks, and I don't blame him.
The Opposition View on Love Sport.
Yeah, we are back. This is Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fancast. Around 5 to 6 minutes to get your quiz entries in. Get them in at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or at Chelsea Fancast on Twitter.
They won't get one. That one that I've found out, they won't get that one.
I just picked up a tweet from Rancho Blue, who makes a very good point. He says, why can't Petacek work with the youth like Joe Cole? I think that's a great point. The youth. Really do.
Yeah, but why would he want to? If he needs to get his badges first, so he wants to become a manager, why would he want to go and work with the youth after having done that? Would he not...
Well, it's a good place to start, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's a good point, but would he not want to...
Well, you get your badges whilst you're working, don't you? I mean, that's what...
Well, you can do. It's what Frank Lampard did.
And JT.
Etc.
I personally want to see him expand on his music career, because I quite enjoy his drumming videos.
Yeah, me too.
He could work with musical youth, of
course.
East
European rock.
You know, musical youth.
Clever.
Pass the Dutchie.
Pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side.
What a big tree. Chidge.
Hello.
Where are you?
Where am I with what?
Arsenal versus Chelsea.
Well, I was saying to Clayton off air, I've dug out some really good stats, which I shall I shall fess up, actually. It's a mate of ours, Rick Glanville, writes these every week on the official Chelsea FC website.
As the official historian.
It's called PMB, pre-match briefing, talking points. But there's some amazing... Paul Dutton actually does the stats, to be fair, and we should name-check Paul. But Chelsea have conceded 17 goals in the Premier League this season. That's 15 fewer than Arsenal's 32, which I didn't realise. And also... Arrizabalaga in 22 games has kept 10 clean sheets, which is only bettered by Alisson, who's kept 13. But the thing that really caught Clayton and my eye was our record against them. It's been a very happy hunting ground. There's no visiting club that can lay claim to as many victories there as we can, which is 5. And some of those are included in the current run of 1 defeat and 14 league games against them, which is, that's basically 8 victories and 5 draws. And only Liverpool and Man United have beaten Arsenal more times than Chelsea in the Premier League era, which I was really
surprised. Yeah, because we were surprised. Just saying, up until Mourinho arrived at Stamford Bridge, we could do nothing.
Nothing.
We couldn't beat them.
Nada.
There was that absolutely... You mentioned the FA Cup replay, because we drew 2-2 at their place. We thought, great, this is it. We're finally... Because we got drawn against them about 3 years in a row. But the one game which was worse than that, just the I think one of the worst games I've ever beat... I mean, it was a brilliant game of football. Was when we were leading 2-0. And then Adebayor scored a hat-trick. Including that horrendous goal where Ed De Hoy came out of his goal and he scored from virtually, it was like a flood at the time, and it was like a, he scored from the corner.
It was Canoe.
Oh, it was Canoe.
Canoe, right. Patrick in about 2 minutes.
I hid under the chair.
Of course, the famous commentary line was...
Moments. Yes.
The famous commentary line was, can you believe it?
Yeah. Oh, very good. And you know that because you were watching Premier
Premier League years.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because it just stuck with me, to be fair. Yeah. It's just a great, it's just a great one. Didn't Silvino also score a cracker?
Yeah, in the League Cup.
That was...
League Cup.
No, that was another game. No, it was a League game.
Winterburn scored one as well, didn't he?
Another game where we were leading and then all of a sudden from nowhere.
But they had the Indian side completely for a long time.
In the way that we did over the Spuds.
Until
Jose turned up and then they couldn't beat us.
Yeah. He had the Indian sign on Wenger. I mean, the thing is that, I think the thing we haven't talked about yet about Arsenal with Chelsea tomorrow is that it's actually a huge game. I mean, it's actually a 6-pointer. I hate that term, but it's applicable because we are 6 points above them at the moment in fourth. Should we beat them, we'll be nine points. That's hard to get back at this stage of the season. But if we lose, it'll be three and they're back in it.
Yeah. And well, the other thing is that a draw would be fine because we'd stay six points above them. But Manchester United have got another...
They
got a bye again on Saturday. Are you playing Brighton at home?
Brighton and Hove Albion.
Yes, okay. So that basically means that Arsenal will be desperate to win. Yeah. Are you playing 3 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah.
So they will be on level points with Arsenal when we kick off.
Wow. So Arsenal have the, you know...
So it's going to...
If they win, of course.
I would say there would be more pressure on them tomorrow.
Well, no, we're on level points already.
Are you?
Yeah, you're not at level points, just buying a goal difference,
about
2 goals.
Okay, fine. Well, then the pressure will be on us. Oh, no.
Anything else before we reveal the answers to the quiz?
Well, I just think that, you know, I was saying last night when I was being talked about this, I think that I'm feeling much more quietly confident about finishing in top four than I have for a while. Because I think that I think Arsenal have got more problems than us, to be honest. I mean, when Emery's coming out in an interview saying that he can only have players on loan this transfer window, that's appalling for them. And I think Tottenham are looking very wobbly. No Kane, no Son. They've got injury problems. We know that their squad is thin. The team I'm most worried about now is Man U.
Yeah.
But I'm less worried about Arsenal and Spurs, and I'm thinking we're okay for top four.
I think Spurs are going to go in a nosedive because of all the injuries.
Champions League as well.
Kane is very, very important to them. Mind you, he's very good at recovering.
As I said, I saw a horrible statistic that their win ratio is higher when he's not playing.
Oh, how
the funny thing is Son is only out until February, because Asian Cup finals on the 1st of February.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they haven't got that long. Very quickly.
You want the quiz answers?
Well, no. Can we have a bed under it, please?
Oh, yeah.
Can we have a bed?
I'm rather tired.
Let's have a music bed. And by the way, next week, I wouldn't mind if you recorded something like, you know, it's time for the quiz or something like that.
It's time for the quiz.
Something like that. We'll get you next door and you can record
it's
us a little.
It's time for the quiz.
All right. And just a reminder.
There you go. We've got the little bed going on underneath.
Will you be quiet? I'm trying to read the quiz.
Read your answers.
Right. For all those who missed this, the question, as always this week, was who played for Chelsea and Arsenal? We had some great responses during the show on Twitter at Chelsea Fancast. Thank you very much. And there are 22 of them, what I found. And they are in alphabetical order, actually. Nicolas Anelka. Tommy Baldwin. Yossi Benayoun. Petr Cech. Ashley Cole. Lasana Diarra. William Dixon.
Who?
He played, I think, in the 50s or the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Doherty. Cesc Fabregas. William Gallas. I think somebody got him. Olivier Giroud, which Clayton got. George Graham. John Hollins. Alan Hudson.
Graham's a great player.
Alan Hudson, absolute legend. Tommy Lawton. Don't think anybody got Tommy Lawton.
A weird Tommy.
Tommy was playing for us just before the war, I think. Peter Nicholas. Nobody got Peter Nicholas.
Peter Ridiculous.
Yep. Colin Pates. Somebody got that. Emmanuel Petit. Graham Ricks. Nobody got Rocky. Nobody got David Rocastle. I'm astonished by that.
Yeah. Didn't Houston play as well?
No.
No, he didn't.
He managed them, though, didn't he?
He
coached them.
Assistant manager.
Right, and the final two, which are the horrible obscure ones that I found that were pre-war, I think. I don't know. You'd have to Google them yourself, because I can't remember. But the other two that I'd never heard of are Bob Turnbull.
Yes.
And Alan Young.
Alan Young played in the 60s. And he played in the 63 side.
Well
that was
done.
Promoted.
And well done.
And
Jonathan,
I saw him on several occasions.
Jonathan
and I've
has
come up
one
with one
more player.
One more player, which who was very peculiar in that he didn't actually got transferred to them, but he didn't play for them, was Clive Allen, of course.
No, but he didn't play for them, mate.
No, but he got transferred and he actually
he,
went.
He was an Arsenal
he
player.
He was an Arsenal player.
But did he play? How many games did he play?
None.
Oh, there you go.
But if he gets sacked, then I'll get Steve Sidwell.
No, no, you don't.
No, because he was Ute.
Yeah, but he was in the first team squad. I mean, in and around, lurking. How
this
could he get
different.
Into a midfield?
Clive Allen at the time
how could
had been
Steve
playing,
Sidwell
be playing
into
for
a midfield
Spurs,
of Pires,
for Chelsea.
Overmars, Petit, Bergkamp? How could he get into that?
Well, we have to discuss that with the manager, I'm afraid.
Well, he should have. Well, if he would have got
Let
French,
the manager, please.
If he would have got French citizenship, then he would have got into the first team.
Definitely.
Great start.
Norwich City 3, Birmingham City 1 is a later score from Carroll. It is an end-to-end game. We'll be keeping you aside that as things
Can
things
I ask us our predictions?
Well, yeah, very quickly
Hurry
because
up,
we're running out of time. I'm going to go from left to right. Kid, how do you see it going?
2-1 to the Blues.
Earth.
Clayton, hello.
0-0.
Wind. 2-1 to Chelsea.
Fire.
Yes.
I'm going 3-2
Chelsea. Do you remember?
Sorry, 3-2.
Yeah.
Shall I tell you an interesting fact about three goals?
Go on.
Chelsea scored three goals on 9 occasions up to November. I haven't scored three goals since.
There you go.
Brilliant stuff.
Clayton Factoid Beerman. Thank you very much. I just think, because, you know, you look at them, they've got some decent, you know, players in forward line, but defence is a bit suspect.
Well, 4-3 then.
Our defence is good.
5-4.
We've only, I mean,
not yours.
Their defence is ropey. We'll score.
There you go. It's the Chelsea Van Gogh on Love Sport. Thank you to everyone who's got involved this evening. Thank you to Clayton, to JK, and to Fire.
Thank you.
Good night.
AM Love Sport.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.